one. There his faculties were roused into admiration and respect by contemplating the limited remnant of the earliest patents. There any unwelcome sensations arising from domestic affairs changed naturally into pity and contempt as he turned over the almost endless creations of the last century. And there, if every other leaf were powerless, he could read his own history with an interest which never failed. This was the page at which the favourite volume always opened. Eliot of Kellynch Hall. Walter Eliot, born March the 1st, 1760, married July the 15th, 1784, Elizabeth, daughter of James Stevenson, Esquire of South Park, in the county of Gloucester, by which lady, who died in 1800, he has issue Elizabeth, born June the 1st, 1785, Anne, born August the 9th, 1787, a stillborn son, November the 5th, 1789, Mary, born November the 20th, 1791. Precisely such had the paragraph originally stood from the printer's hands, but Sir Walter had improved it by adding, for the information of himself and his family, these words after the date of Mary's birth. Married December the 16th, 1810. Charles, son and heir of Charles Musgrove Esquire of Uppercross, in the county of Somerset, and by inserting most accurately the day of the month on which he had lost his wife. Then followed the history and rise of the ancient and respectable family, in the usual terms, how it had been first settled in Cheshire, how mentioned in Dugdale, serving the office of High Sheriff, representing a borough in three successive parliaments, exertions of loyalty and dignity of baronet in the first year of Charles II, with all the Marys and Elizabeths they had married, forming altogether two handsome duodecimo pages, and concluding with the arms and motto, Principal Seat, Kellynch Hall, in the county of Somerset, and Sir Walter's handwriting again in this finale, Heir Presumptive, William Walter Elliot Esquire, great-grandson of the second Sir Walter. Vanity was the beginning and the end of Sir Walter Elliot's character. Vanity of person and of situation. He had been remarkably handsome in his youth and at 54 was still a very fine man. Few women could think more of their personal appearance than he did. Nor could the valet of any new-made lord be more delighted with the place he held in society. He considered the blessing of beauty as inferior only to the blessing of baronetcy, and the Sir Walter Elliot who united these gifts was the constant object of his warmest respect and devotion. His good looks and his rank had one fair claim on his attachment, since to them he must have owed a wife of very superior character to anything deserved by his own. Lady Elliot had been an excellent woman, sensible and amiable, whose judgment and conduct, if they might be pardoned the youthful infatuation which made her Lady Elliot, had never required indulgence afterwards. She had humoured or softened or concealed his failings and promoted his real respectability for 17 years, and though not the very happiest being in the world herself, had found enough in her duties, her friends and her children to attach her to life, and make it no matter of indifference to her when she was called on to quit them. Three girls, the two eldest 16 and 14, was an awful legacy for a mother to bequeath. An awful charge, rather, to confide to the authority and guidance of a conceited, silly father. She had, however, one very intimate friend, a sensible, deserving woman, who had been brought by strong attachment to herself to settle close by her in the village of Kellynch. And on her kindness and advice, Lady Elliot mainly relied for the best help and maintenance of the good principles and instruction which she had been anxiously giving her daughters. This friend and Sir Walter did not marry, whatever might have been anticipated on that head by their acquaintance. 13 years had passed away since Lady Elliot's death, and they were still near neighbours and intimate friends.